It's good to be here with you this evening. Please turn with me in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And we'll take a reading from verse 19. Luke chapter 16, and we'll read from verse 19. The word of the Lord says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And we'll just seek the Lord now in prayer, asking the Lord's hand to be upon us. Our Father, we come to thee afresh now. Lord, I need thy help. I ask of thee that thou wilt stand beside me. Lord, fill me with thy spirit. And O God, we pray tonight that thou wilt come, O God, and bless. We pray tonight that we would be able to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would leave this place saying it was good to have been here, for we met afresh with thee. Lord, come, O God, we pray. Convert, we ask of thee in Jesus' name. Amen. At the beginning of Luke chapter 16, the Lord begins to talk to his disciples, and he gives them many, many instructions of how they are to live for the Lord. He points out to them that they cannot serve God and man. And as the Lord's speaking to his people, we learn there in verse 14 that the Pharisees, they heard everything that he said, and it spoke to them. For whatever the Lord was talking to his people about, it pointed their sin, it exposed their iniquity, it showed them that they were a covetous people, that they were going away that they ought not to be going. And we read there in verse 14 that when they heard all these things, they derided him. That word means that they turned up their nose at him, they rejected him. They didn't want to know what he was saying. They didn't want to hear the words that he had to say, because he exposed their living day by day, that they were living in sin. And the Lord went on to show them in verse 19, one of their own, one who was a man of covetousness, one who was a man that had no compassion, one who was a man that showed no love to his fellow neighbor. We learn there in verse 19, and I want us, by way of introduction, just by speaking on this man's life, to compare him. Because at the start we read about two men. And I want us, by introduction, to show that these two men are described. Because we learned there in verse 19 that there was a certain rich man which fared sumptuously every day. Here was a rich man who lived his life to the best of his ability. He had all the money that he ever wanted. He had everything that he ever wanted. He wore all the great clothes. We learn there that he fared sumptuously every day. We learn that the clothes he wore were special clothes of that day, because he read there that he wore clothes that were purple. And these clothes were used for royalty. Those who are in high positions. We learn in Mark's Gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ was one who had on a purple robe. When they mocked him and they laughed at him and they gave him the purple robe to say, if you're the King of the Jews, here's your robe. And this man lived his life every day as if he was the king of his castle. He walked around every day for people to see that I have all money. I fare sumptuously every day. I can do what I want. I can do whatever I live and please. But this man had no thought for eternity. This man didn't care about the things of God. Though he heard the scriptures of what he had heard about the prophets, he had heard about Moses, he had heard about Christ through all the scriptures. Yet this man wanted nothing to do with the things of God, and he put it all aside. And yet we come to the man also in verse 20, that there was a beggar, a man who was homeless, a man who was helpless, a man who was hurt, a man who lived on the streets. The people brought him to this rich man's house, left him there, because they knew if anybody could help this man, it would be the rich man. If anybody who had money to be able to supply the needs that this man had, it would have been that rich man. But the man had no compassion. The man had no mercy. The man had, whatever is mine belongs to me and no one else. And that's how these two men are described. A great difference, a great vast of descriptions. And dear men and women tonight, I say to you, you may say, but preacher, I'm not like those two. I'm not rich and I'm not poor. I've just come here as a good person. Well, may I say unto you that God's word shows us and describes us as those who are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. For we learn in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word there, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, refers to we have missed the mark. God's standard of righteousness, God's standard of holiness, God's standard of obedience. As sinners, we have fallen short. As sinners, we've missed that mark. And because of that there, we're born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. And the scripture shows us that for you and I who are born in sin, that we are the enemies of God, that we are the children of wrath, even as others, that he that hath not the Son hath not life, that the wrath of God abides upon them. And on the sea of one tonight, I show you in your sin and in your iniquity against the Lord, that the wrath of God abides upon you, that you're one who's lost, that you're one who's perishing, and you need to come to the Lord Jesus tonight. You need to come and put your trust and realize you've sinned against the Holy God, that you've realized that you've sinned against the law of God, and you need to come like this man who didn't and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the description. But notice also, very briefly, that these two men had to make a decision. Because we learn there, we read about the rich man, that in hell he lifted up his eyes. As he was presented in the Christ in all the scriptures, he had an opportunity to give his life to the Lord. He had an opportunity to put things right. But in his decision, he rejected the Lord. He rejected God's offer of salvation. The other man at some point of his life accepted the Lord in his life, because we learn he went to paradise. Notice also something very simple, that these two men also died. And that's easy to miss. That's easy to bypass. But we read there in verse 22, the rich man died and the beggar died also. And that shows you and I that death is the great equalizer. For none of us in this room tonight will escape death. No man is promised tomorrow, for it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. You could die tonight, tomorrow I could die as well. No man is promised tomorrow. We know not what a day may bring forth. But can I ask you, are you prepared for eternity? Can you leave here tonight and say, yes, preacher, I know I'm going to heaven. I know my sins are forgiven. I've come to the Lord Jesus Christ.
I told them I'm a sinner. I've realized that the wrath of God's upon me. And I've come and put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many talk today about retirement, getting plans for the future. But can I ask, have you prepared for all eternity? Notice also their destination. Because based on their decision, based on how they rejected or accepted the Lord, they went to the place for all eternity. Death is when the soul leaves the body. Your body, when you die, your body will go to the grave. But your soul will live on either in heaven or in hell. We learn that the rich man, verse 23, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. One man went to a place of paradise. The other went to a place of punishment. One man went to a place of singing. One man went to a place of screaming. One man went to a place of peace. The other went to a place of pain. Can I ask you just now, where will you spend eternity? Just want to talk about briefly tonight the place of hell. Notice first of all the place of hell. Verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. I want us to notice three simple truths here. First of all, the teaching of hell. The teaching of hell. We've read there tonight from the Lord, showing us about this man who went to hell. And we read throughout God's word, hell is taught. And this is very, very important. What we learn there in Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, that the wicked and all the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Isaiah speaks about hell hath enlarged herself. We learn tonight that in Luke's gospel, the Lord showed us that this man in hell lifted up his eyes. And that's very important for you and I. Why? Because today there's so many going around telling men and women that hell's not taught in God's word. There's so many running around today saying that there's no such a place of hell. It's an imagination. It's only a dream. It's only something to scare you. It's only something to put fear into you. But I say unto you that hell is a real place. And if you reject God's offer of salvation, you will be found in a lost eternity. How many wrap round the doors today and they'll say hell doesn't exist. They'll say after you die, you'll only go to the grave. Some will say, well, if you do go to hell, at the end of it, you'll come back out of it some other way. But I say unto you that hell is taught in all God's word. There's also the truth of hell. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. How is hell described in God's word? We learn there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, it's described as punishment, as everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, to be cast off. We learn in Jude, his epistle, that he writes that it's the blackness of darkness forever. The epistle of Peter tells us that they're chains in darkness forever. We learn there in Mark's gospel, that's the place where the worm dieth not. What are we simply saying? Hell is a place of darkness. It's a place of separation from God. It's a place where you're cut off from all from God's heaven. It's a place where you'll be chained forever and ever and ever. But notice worse than that there. Not only is hell taught in Scripture, not only is hell a truth in Scripture, but notice the tragedy of hell. Because the tragedy is that this man who had the Scriptures, this man who had the prophets and Moses, still went to a lost eternity. And that's the tragedy. Oh, how he heard Christ in all the Scriptures, though he heard the message, though he was given the opportunity, yet still he refused the message. And what a tragedy that is, that even tonight he's still crying out for mercy. Even tonight he's still crying out for all those opportunities that he had because he rejected. And what a tragedy that would be for you to be here tonight and to be found in God's house, to be told of your sin, to be told of a Savior that you need, to be told that none need perish, for Christ has died, that you can flee from the wrath to come, and yet go out of this place tonight and not reject the Lord and be found in a lost eternity. What a terrible thing it would be to report from this church that Mr. Brown would say this Lord's Day that there was so-and-so in the meeting last week and they heard the message and they didn't. They walked out and they rejected the Lord. And what a tragedy it would be because they would be found in all eternity in hell. Oh, I say unto you, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Don't let it be a tragedy tonight, but you come with every soul by simple press, for there's mercy with the Lord. Will you come tonight, sinner? Will you come and realize that you're in sin? Will you come and realize that you're on the road to hell and you need Christ as your Savior? For Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You don't need the shopping. You don't need the priest. You don't need the church. You need the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. Don't miss that tonight. We've looked there at the place of hell. Notice secondly, the punishment of hell. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. The word torment, it means suffer or torture. And it's in the tense that means it's going on. Even now, he's experiencing these torments. These torments, they're unending. They're unbearing. They are unutterable. He's in there in hell crying out. Hell is forever beyond hope, forever beyond mercy, forever beyond love, forever beyond rescue, forever beyond Christ. It was Spurgeon that said, those who are in hell have the chains on them. Hang her down, it says, forever, forever, forever. And if you go into hell, you'll have the chains of hell upon you in darkness, crying out for mercy, on chain forever, forever, forever. What are these punishments? What are these tortures? Notice, we'll just go through them very, very briefly as time has gone quickly. But verse 24, notice there is the torment of the scorching flame. It says there, I am tormented in this flame. Now hell's nothing to joke about. Hell's nothing to laugh about. When I worked before in the company I worked with, oh how you would talk to people and witness to them, and they would say, hell, it doesn't exist. They would say, well, they would make jokes, or they would say, well, we'll all have a party. But I say, hell's nothing to laugh about, for this man's tormented in the flame. We learn there in Revelation 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The torment of the scorching flame. Notice the torment of sounds. He cried and he said. In hell there was crying. There was shouting out. There was crying out for mercy. Someone said this here. If you take a fork or a blackboard and you get your fingernails and you run it down that board and you'll hear a noise, and it'll be a squealing noise, and it'll run through your ears. It'll be a noise that you'll go, don't do that. And you take a dog growling, a real dog getting the teeth into you, and then you take a child screaming, you put it all together, and it'll be an unbearable noise. It'll be a noise that you'll say, we need to stop it. But in hell, it'll be a lot worse. In hell, it'll be for all eternity. The torment of sounds. The torment of sad memories. Verse 25. But Abraham said, son, remember that in thy lifetime thou receivest thy good things. In hell, this man remembered all the things that he had. He remembered all the good things that he had. And in hell, it's a great truth that you'll have your memory in hell. You'll remember every time you sat under God's word. You'll remember every time you were given a gospel tract. You'll remember every message you heard this week. You'll remember each time you were told that you needed to be saved. You'll be remembered each time. The message will go back and back again. And that's why this man's still crying out for mercy, because the message is still repeated to him. The man in hell didn't take his money, all the riches that he had, but he took his memory. He didn't take his riches, but he took his rejection with him. The torment of sight, verse 3, in hell he lifted up his eyes. The torment of speech, he cried. There was a torment of severe thirst, verse 24. He cried and said, Father Abraham, touch the tip of his finger. It was not hot in the fire. But notice, worse than that, the torment of separation. Verse 26, and beside all this between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Separation, immovable. We learn, again, Thessalonians, that those who are punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. If you die in your sin tonight, and you stand before the Lord and you go to hell and say, I never knew you, depart from me, you'll be cut off from the Lord, separated from God for all eternity in hell. We've looked at the place of hell, the punishment of hell, but notice also the plea of hell. Verses 27, we learn there that verses 27 to 31, the man in hell is crying out for pardon. And as he's there crying out for pardon, he realizes one thing, that he has five brethren back home. He said, verse 27, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send them to my father's house. The man is burdened for his family back home. He's got brethren back home. And he now realizes that they're going to come here as well. They're on the road to hell. They have the same scriptures. They have the same word. They've heard all the same message that I've heard. And now they're on the same road. And they're going to come here. Father Abraham, send someone there. He comes and he tries to make his own way of salvation. He says there in verse 28, for I have five brethren that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Verse 29, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Verse 30, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one repent. Here he's saying, Abraham, if you do something great, yes, they know they have the scriptures, though they have the word, though they have the same tools that I have, but they'll not believe that. That's not going to be enough. That's not going to get them, because it didn't get me. But if you do something great, if you bring one back from the dead, if you do something that'll make them say, well, wow, I'll believe now, you've got me now. What he was doing was putting the scriptures aside and saying, coming up with another way of salvation, coming up with another way to get God's acceptance. But we must say, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you don't believe this book, there'll be no other way. This man came, tried to get his own inventions, his own ideas, tried to get another way, and there's no other way. And maybe you're here tonight saying, well, preacher, I'm a good person. I've given money to the church. I've been coming year by year. But it's not by works that we've done, but it's his mercy that he has saved us. It's not anything that you can do, for Christ paid the sinner's debt. You can't do anything to merit eternal life. For Jesus paid it all. He died an atoning death. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing I can do. Only come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the Savior of sinners. The Lord turned around. The answer was, he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, the one rose from the dead. If they don't believe the scriptures, they're not going to believe anything else that's done. And friend, if you miss Christ tonight, you miss heaven. Finally, we've looked at the place of hell, the punishment of hell. Notice also, we've looked at the plea of hell. But notice, only tonight can you have pardon from hell. Now, you'll never have pardon in hell, but tonight you can have pardon from hell. Tonight you can come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and realize all your sin before Him and come and realize that there's none but Christ can satisfy, that there's none but Jesus can help sinners, or there's none but Jesus that you need.
I was in Tavistock there during the summer and I had a great time of blessing, going around all the streets and all the different places. But there was one place we went to out in the national park,
and there's a big beam, and the man who showed us around, we were going through the park, and a big national park, and he said, "See that beam over there?" He said, "At night time that lights up. It's in the centre of the whole park. And the whole idea is people, they'll go through the day and they'll camp and they'll travel, and it's so big that they get lost. But," he said, "at night time, if you look at that beam, it lights up all around the area. And if you look to that beam, it'll show you the way to go. It'll show you the nearest town. And when you follow that beam, it'll take you back where you need to go." And men and women, tonight, we're pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are in darkness, those who are sheep gone astray, we're pointing you to the light of the world, the Lamb slain for sinners. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, for behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of this world. None else. Look not to me. Look not to the preacher. Look not to the church. Look not to the people. But come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and look to the one who can save your soul. Don't leave here tonight until you've come to the Lord Jesus. Don't leave in your sin. Don't leave with His wrath upon you. But come tonight and make Jesus your Savior. The hymn said this here: "There is no condemnation, there is no hell for me. The torment and the fire my eyes shall never see. For me there is no sentence, for me there is no sting. For Christ the Lord who saved me will shield me with His wing." Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and to me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? You're here saved tonight. There is no condemnation. There is no hell for you. You know people that's not saved. You go round and speak to them. We've went round the doors all this week, and how so many people we've talked to. People today have rapped on the doors and they've admitted and said, "Yes, preacher, honestly, if I died, I would go to hell. I wouldn't. I'm not saved." And you say, "You need to." I say to you tonight, you need to come tonight. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, not when you think about it. It's right now. You have that urge in your heart. You have that rushing over you. It's the Lord in conviction. It's the Lord coming down alongside saying, "You need to be saved." Convicting you of your sin. Letting you know you're on the road to hell. You need to come tonight. And we trust that this will not be said about you. Will not be standing over your grave saying, "In hell, he or she lifted up her eyes, being in torment." But may it be said, "You're with the Lord, which is far better." I trust tonight that you will come and give your life to the Lord. Thank you for listening tonight.
Thank you, Philip, for bringing that very solemn message to our hearts concerning the awful prospect that there is before the sinner outside of Christ, and also bringing before us that wonderful invitation of the Lord to come and to find His forgiveness and His peace. We'll perhaps close by singing just two verses of the hymn number 273. Hymn number 273, it speaks of the welcome that the Saviour holds before sinners even today. "I hear Thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to Thee." Hymn number 273, we'll sing verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2, standing please, of hymn number 273. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee that it is truth. And we thank Thee for the faithful warnings that it brings to our soul. And we thank Thee that it is in mercy that Thou dost warn us to flee from the wrath to come. And we pray that if there be any here, and as yet they are not ready to meet Thee, if today finds them heading to that awful place that they have been warned of tonight, we pray that they would see their great danger and that they would see the mercy that is offered before them in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they would flee to Him and find rest even now. Accept of our thanks for all of Thy mercies toward us. Be with us as we would part, and keep us, we pray, in Thy fear and in Thy favour until we would meet again. For we ask it in our Saviour's name, for His sake. Amen.